Welcome back to the deep dive. If you follow the cybersecurity world, you realize pretty quickly it's not just an arms race anymore. It's more like a speed race. The second a security researcher finds a vulnerability or builds a defense, the bad guys are already taking it apart and, welding it onto their own attack kits.
And that's exactly what we're seeing here.
So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're looking at exactly that process, how this technique called browser in the browser, or BitB, got pulled from security research and plugged directly into these subscription-based cybercrime operations. Specifically, we're focusing on a platform called Sneaky 2FA and how it's being used to hit Microsoft 365 accounts.
And that's the key thing you need to grasp here. We're not just talking about some opportunistic phishing email anymore. This is a highly commoditized business model. It's designed from the ground up to get around the industry standard for protection, which is multi-factor authentication. When you have criminals selling a guaranteed 2FA bypass as a service, well, the whole threat landscape just shifts.
Okay, let's unpack that. Let's start with economics of it. What even is phishing as a service or FAS? How has that become the main model?
Think of it like the Amazon of cybercrime. I mean, really, it takes the whole software as a service idea and just applies it to crime.
So you don't need to be a genius coder anymore.
Not at all. An attacker just pays a monthly subscription, and for that fee, they get everything: the templates, the infrastructure, the email delivery, even customer support, all of it constantly updated with the latest tricks.
It's just click and deploy. You're basically franchising these incredibly sophisticated attacks. That's concerning. And we're talking about some big players here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Sneaky 2FA is a major one. But you've also got notorious names like Tycoon 2FA, Mamba 2FA. These are professional operations. They have quality control. They ensure their kits are working.
And their number one target seems to be Microsoft 365. I mean, obviously it's everywhere, but why is that the grand prize?
It's all about access, not just the data itself. If you compromise an M365 account, it's like you've been handed a key card to the entire company. You get all the emails, the documents, sure, but the real value is that it's the initial foothold. From there, an attacker can move laterally, deeper into the network, escalate their privileges. It's the perfect entry point.
And Sneaky 2FA was already good at this stuff, right? They were known for those attacker-in-the-middle techniques for stealing session
They
tokens.
were.
So if they could already do that, why invest in a whole new visual trick like browser in the browser?
That's a really crucial question. Their old methods worked, but they still relied on the user interacting with a page that, might feel a little bit off, a little
The
suspicious.
trust factor.
The trust factor. BitB solves that problem. It just skyrockets their conversion rate by getting rid of all the visual cues we associate with a typical phishing page. They needed a better camouflage for the engine they already had.
This is where it gets so fascinating to me. Let's talk about that core deception, the browser in the browser technique. This was originally a proof of concept, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was publicly demonstrated by a security researcher, Mr. DOX, back in 2022. And the intention was completely defensive. It was to show how easily attackers could trick users by faking a pop-up window.
And within months.
Within months, it was weaponized. It went from a blog post to being actively used against gaming platforms, social media, and now enterprise systems like Microsoft 365.
So on a technical level, how does it work? How does it convince you that you're looking at a real separate login window?
It's just a masterful piece of visual engineering. When you get to the phishing page, the attacker uses an HTML element called an iframe. They give it like a little web page embedded inside the main web page. Then they use styling, CSS, to make that iframe look exactly like a genuine pop-up window from your operating system.
And the real trick is what's inside that fake window.
That's the core deception. They create a completely fake but totally convincing URL address bar. It has the Microsoft domain name. It has the little HTTPS padlock icon.
So you see the right URL, you see the lock, and your brain just says, okay, this is a legitimate separate window from my browser. But it's not.
It's not. It's just a picture, an interactive picture embedded inside the attacker's website. It completely exploits decades of security training where we've told people to check the address bar.
You're still on the attacker's domain, but your eyes are glued to the fake URL they've painted for you.
Exactly. It exploits that muscle memory.
Okay, let's walk through the whole attack chain, the full Sneaky 2FA sequence. So the victim gets a phishing link. Where do they land?
Usually it's a very convincing email, urgent document to review, you click the link, and you land on a domain that sounds harmless, something like previewdoc.com.
And this is where they add that little piece of psychological manipulation, the Cloudflare check.
It's pure security theater. You land on the page and you get a Cloudflare turnstile, you know, please verify you are human.
Which we see on legitimate sites all the time.
All the time. So right away you think, oh, this site must be safe. It's using Cloudflare to protect itself. It builds this immediate false sense of legitimacy.
So you pass the bot check, and then you're told to sign in to see the document, and that's when the fake pop-up appears.
That's when the BitBee attack renders. And this is where Sneaky 2FA has gotten really sophisticated. The fake window actually analyzes your system.
What do you mean?
Are you on a Mac using Safari? The pop-up will look exactly like a Safari pop-up.
Hmm.
If you're on a Windows PC using Edge, it'll mimic the Edge styling perfectly. It's dynamic.
Wow.
So it feels native. It feels familiar. And inside that perfectly crafted fake pop-up, their reverse proxy is running.
Yeah.
This is the attacker in the middle part. The user enters their credentials.
They do their multi-factor authentication.
Right. They complete the MFA prompt on their phone, which is proxied to the real Microsoft server. The login is successful. And in that split second, before the user is redirected, the platform captures the active session token.
So it's like the 2FA process is me getting the key card to my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
But the attacker, through this proxy, is just standing there and snatching the key card out of my hand the moment the clerk gives it to me.
That is the perfect analogy. They aren't bypassing MFA. They are stealing the result of it, the golden ticket. And once they have that session token, they can log in as you from anywhere immediately. And they can stay logged in for days bypassing any more MFA prompts until that token expires.
And these platforms are so hard to take down because they're designed to be evasive, not just visually, but technically.
Oh, there are layers of it. First, there's conditional loading. If the system detects a security scanner or a researcher's IP address, it just shows them a harmless page.
So automated tools can't even see the real phishing kit.
Exactly. The malicious content is only served to real potential victims, and then the code itself is a mess of camouflage. Heavy obfuscation, invisible HTML tags, encoded images instead of text. It's all designed to beat static analysis and URL filters.
So let's bring this down to the user. What can you actually do? If the deception is this good, how can you spot a fake BitBee window?
This is probably the most important actionable thing to take away from this.
Yeah.
Because the BitBee window is just an element embedded on the page. It's trapped. It's trapped inside the parent browser window. So you have two physical tests you can do.
Okay, what are they?
First, grab the login window with your mouse and try to drag it.
Right.
A real pop-up from your operating system can be moved anywhere on your screen.
Yeah.
Outside the borders of the browser. But a fake one, you can't drag it outside the main web page. It'll just hit the edge and stop.
Because it's just part of that page.
It's just part of the page.
Yeah.
The second test is your taskbar or the dock on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
A real pop-up is a separate window. So it will show up as a separate icon in your taskbar. You can minimize it from there. The fake BitBee window won't appear in the taskbar at all. That's a fundamental difference they can't fake.
That's brilliant. Okay, so beyond the individual, what about organizations? Standard MFA is clearly not the silver bullet we thought it was. What does layered security look like now?
It has to start with continuous training. Not just the annual check-the-box compliance training.
Right.
Employees need to be specifically shown what a BitBee attack looks like and how to perform those physical tests. You have to build that culture of skepticism.
And on the technical side?
On the technical side, we have to move past just asking for a second factor. You need conditional access policies.
So context matters.
Context is everything. Is the login coming from a company-managed compliant device? Is it from a familiar location? Is it happening at 3 a.m.? If the context is wrong, the login should be blocked, even if they present a valid session token.
And what about the tokens themselves? Since that's the prize, how do we make them less valuable?
That's where things like session token binding become critical. It basically cryptographically ties a token to the specific device that generated it. So if the attacker steals it and tries to use it on their machine,
that just doesn't work.
It fails.
Yeah.
You also need to rotate tokens more frequently. Invest heavily in anomaly detection to spot things like impossible travel scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a login from New York and then another one from Moscow 2 minutes later.
So to bring this all back, the speed that BitBee went from a research paper to being in major face kits like Sneaky 2FA and that Raccoon 0365 group that got disrupted, that's really the main story here.
It really is. It shows you how mature and resilient the whole cybercrime ecosystem is. You take down one service, like Storm 2246, and the attackers just, they just migrate. The other platforms absorb the successful techniques and fill the void.
Which leaves us with a, I think, a pretty provocative final thought for you to chew on. If our own security researchers are, in a way, developing the blueprints for the next generation of attacks, and the threat actors are watching and integrating those blueprints almost in real time, what does this constant accelerating commoditization of sophisticated crime mean for the future costs and the complexity of just trying to defend an organization?
We're perpetually buying solutions to problems that haven't even been fully documented yet.
A necessary and a fascinating deep dive into a really cutting-edge threat. Thanks for walking us through it.
My pleasure.